If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. We read in verse number 1, and we read down through a number of verses here. Really need to read the entire chapter. It's only 21 verses. We may do that. The Bible says, and I'm glad for these first three words, for we know. I'm glad there are some things in the Scripture that we can be confident in, we can know and have knowledge of. And Paul, as he writes to this church of Corinth that has had so many problems and so many difficulties, he writes to them in the first letter, condemning them and not condoning their sin. And he writes in the second letter and telling them some things that they need to know and that they do know. And he says here in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer that which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they might live and should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 is one of the great chapters of all the Word of God that tells us concerning the death of our Lord and what he did for us, and how that we groan within our own spirit and groan within this tabernacle of flesh and waiting for that new home that is ahead for us. We find that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away. All things have become new, and therefore we are to be ambassadors for the Lord. We're to tell the world about Jesus Christ. We're in His stead. In place of Christ, we are the spokesman for Him. And therefore, we are to tell people to be reconciled unto God. It all comes about and all because He was made sin for us. In these past few weeks, we have been studying some things that happened when Jesus died there upon the cross of Calvary. We have looked at the veils that have been rent. We have looked at the darkness that has been taken from man, from the separation that we are no longer separated from God, and how that death no longer has a hold upon us, and that we have a great day looking. And 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we groan earnestly in our spirit, desiring to be clothed with that new house or that new home. And this morning, I'm going to deal with the study of the renting of the veil of the grave. Last week, we dealt with the earthquake and the things that took place, how the rocks were rent, how they were torn asunder. And I made a statement last week that I'm going to state again. I believe now, after studying these different messages and looking at this, I believe maybe the greatest word that we find in our Bible is the word when Jesus said, "It's finished." And when He completed the work of redemption, when He gave to the world, mankind, the world of redemption, salvation, offered to all that would come unto Him, and it was completed there upon the cross of Calvary, and the Bible says Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And that word "finished" is what a great word that it is. Turn back with me now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27. In Matthew chapter number 27, we've been reading, starting with verse number 51, about the veil of the temple. Let's begin this morning in verse number 52. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 52. "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." These are verses of Scripture that are very sometimes confusing. There are many strange things that took place the day that Jesus died. We've already noticed that the veil of the temple, that was the thickness of the hand of a man, how that it was torn asunder, how it was opened up, signifying an open way to the very throne room of God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have noticed how that the rocks and the mountains quaked when He died, and when He cried "finished," and how that those things transpired. This morning we read these verses that the graves were opened. When He had cried with a loud voice, the graves were opened. And the Bible goes on to tell us, "And many bodies," and it identifies here, the bodies of the saints, the Scripture says, "which slept, arose." And He did this as they came out of the graves after His resurrection. Now chapter verse 52 and 53 cover a three-day period. When Jesus died, a certain thing happened. And after the resurrection, a certain thing happened also. When you study the place called Calvary, we know that it's called Golgotha's Hill. It is called Golgotha because it's a place of a skull. It was a place where people were crucified, not only the Lord, but many others. There had been many before the Lord that had been took up to that place called Calvary, that place of the skull, to get Golgotha's Hill, and they had been placed on a cross and they had died. And around that place of the skull, around that mountain, there also, not only was it a place of dying, but it was a place where the dead were laid. There was a cemetery, there was a graveyard in the area. And so we find here that when the earth railed and the earth quaked and shook the soil, also the graves of the saints there in Jerusalem, there in that place, the graves were opened. Do I understand all of this? There's no way. Do I have all the answers? I do not have those answers. Do I know why it took place? I think I know a little bit, but I don't know everything that I believe the Scripture here has for us. And here the Bible tells us in a split second of time that God opened up the graves of the saints there in Jerusalem. I don't understand it all, but I do believe it all because it's in my Bible. It's in the Word of God. You see, God created time, and God has used this thing called time from the very moment He began it until now that we count it. But one day God, just as He created it, one day God's going to uncreate it. God started it, and God's going to finish it. And these graves were maybe not what we picture. We think of a cemetery out there with tombstones, and we see the vast cemeteries of our country. I've been to a lot of the large cemeteries and to national cemeteries, and you see the monuments all across the land and how that they're in certain order and certain way. But this was not the way it was in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem and in the land of Israel, these graves were nothing more than an opening in the side of an earth, an opening in the side of a hillside, sometimes carved out by man, sometimes a natural opening. And those folks that had died would be placed in that tomb. We know the tomb was large enough, even the Lord's tomb was large enough they could go in and walk around. And so we have to picture a different thing. And they didn't throw the dirt on top of the grave. They rolled a stone in front of the grave. And that's why when they buried the Lord, they said, make it secure as you can. Now that's interesting. As secure as you can is not very secure when it comes to the Lord, for He has all power and all authority. And so these natural openings, or these caves, when the corpses were buried in those two, the great stones were rolled in front of the entrance, and when Jesus shouted, finished, the doors of those tombs were shattered and the bodies of those saints were exposed. Now that's what the Scripture says. Now I don't understand it all. I don't know everything about it, but that's still what the Scripture says. The stones were rolled away, and the Bible says here in these verses that the graves were opened. Now, it's not open like we open them. We would dig a shovel and take a shovel and dig and open the grave. They opened the grave by rolling the stone away. And when Jesus died, the Bible says the graves of the saints, they were opened. And I want us to think this morning concerning about this rending of the graves when Jesus died. Think with me, if you would, while Joseph of Arimathea, of course, he was that disciple that came to the Lord, and he was many times in the secret parts, and while he was preparing, he is the one that begged for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one that had a tomb that was going to be used and had never been used of man. And he's the one that was preparing for the burial of the body of Christ and for a stone to be rolled before it. And while he was preparing all that, God, through the power of Christ's work, was breaking open the tombs there and unsealing them. Man was preparing for one thing. God was doing something else. Well, they even said, we'll put a guard upon it. We'll keep this place safe. You see, the religious Jews and the ungodly empire of Caesar, they joined together in unison, and they said, we're going to seal the tomb with a great stone where no man can steal the body away of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that they were doing all they could to keep the tomb safe. How foolish they were. For their power was nothing to match the power of God. For their power was no match at all to the power of Christ. For Jesus said Himself, all power, all authority is given unto me. Jesus at one time said, I have power to lay my life down. That word power means authority. He said, not only do I have power to lay my life down, but He said, I've got power to raise it up again. And so the power of Caesar and the power of the Jews and those religious Jews of that day had nothing at all that would slow down the power of God and the power of His Christ. The graves were opened, and the Bible says it was the graves of the saints. Not all the graves were open. They're just the graves of the saints. And Matthew 27 and verse number 52 tells us the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept. Now we know what the word sleep means in the many places in the Scripture. There are some people that try to
tell us it means a soul sleeping, but that's not what it talks about. It talks about that they're dead. And they are, their body is asleep, and they're no longer active and busy. And so the Scripture says here, the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Thank God for the resurrection that we learn about and we know about. And one day, you and I will experience that if we are not present when the Lord comes and we live our life and we die a natural death. We die before Jesus comes. We're going to be laid in a casket. We're going to be put in a grave. But I'll tell you what, the power of God is not limited where He can find us, because the Scripture says one of these days the graves are going to be opened and we're going to go up to be with Him forever and forever. And that's what the Apostle Paul was writing about, that this tabernacle, we do groan for that house to come down from heaven. And one of these days we're going to be, we'll have a new home and a new life, and we'll have a new body. Here we find that these folks that had died in believing and trusting in the coming of the Messiah, they have been placed in the tomb, and when Jesus died, the tombs were opened. The tombs, they were rent. They were torn asunder. The stone was rolled away. You see, Jesus' stone was the old one rolled away. That's one that we talk about, but the Bible says here that their graves were opened and the bodies of the saints of which slept arose. That's just a preview of what the future is for you and I. The very same thing is going to happen when Jesus comes again. If my body is laid beside an unbeliever, and Jesus comes, you know what? His bones or her bones are not going to be bothered, but I'm going to rise. I'm going to leave this world. I'm going to be with the Lord. The Bible talks about the resurrection of the child of God. You see, when we go to the cemetery, and when we say those last words there at the cemetery, and we say things something like this, we've gone as far with so-and-so, whoever it might be, we've gone as far with them upon this earth as we can go. And we commit that body back to the dust of the earth. And we leave there. And we take flowers away. And we take memories away. And the preparer of the grave will leave. And they'll cover that casket. And we'll come back. And it'll all be dressed up. But you know what? It's still a grave. It's still just a place that is cold. And a place where death is. One of these days, thank the Lord, we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. We're going to leave this world and we're going to have a new body. And Paul says we groan. This old flesh that we live in, we groan within ourselves. We studied that word last week, the groanings. We groan means that we moan and we desire and we hope and we desire to have something for us. And it's sort of a groan of relief sometimes. And what a day that will be when we shall rise. If we're laid beside those that are unbelievers, that were not saved, they're not going to be bothered. And the Scripture says here that those in Jerusalem, they were not bothered. It's only the saints. It's only those that believed, only those that were looking forward to Messiah. And by the way, Old Testament saints were saved just like we are. They're saved by faith, believing. They saved by grace. There's not a way of salvation in the Old Testament, a way of salvation in the New Testament. It's always the same way. It's by grace through faith. And so those folks, as they anticipated, as they looked forward to a coming Messiah, they were believers, they were made righteous, and the Bible gives us many, many different ones that have been made righteous because of their belief in that coming Messiah. And as they died and their spirit left their body, their bodies were buried. And when we die, the spirit leaves our body and we'll be buried. But one day, thank God, He's coming. Now those folks, they died with the hope of the coming Messiah. You and I this morning, we die because He has come and we hope and believe in Him. We look back at Calvary. We look back at what He did. They look forward to what He shall do. And it's all by faith. If anything, Their faith probably had to be a little more active than our faith, because they were literally, because of what Hebrews chapter 11 tells, they were living, hoping for something that they'd never seen. You and I, at least we can read history, we can read our Bibles, and we know that it happened, and we have faith in that. And so, here we find that these that were raised this day was limited to those who were called saints. It was only for the believers. Christ limited the number of those that were dead who awakened this life. He goes to Lazarus' tomb, and he called him by name and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out of the grave, and he was wrapped in those grave clothes. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Now, Jesus wasn't standing at a grave like we have. He was standing at a tomb. And the stone had been rolled away, and they said, "Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He already stinketh." And Jesus cried at the name Lazarus. Lazarus came forth. Someone said sometime, some years ago, if Jesus hadn't cried and called Lazarus by name, the whole cemetery would have come forth because of the power of God. But he signified, he identified who he was talking to, and he was talking to Lazarus. One of these days, he's going to call my name. One of these days, he's going to call your name, and we're going to be with him. Calvary, what a place of miracles. As John and Peter, remember how the Bible tells us they ran to the tomb to see where Jesus was laid? Now, that was 3 days later. Now, John and Peter, they had to run by some of those tombs that had been opened. Probably the story had gotten out. The tombs have opened. And the bodies are there and the bones are there. As they run by that place, they go to the place where Jesus was laid, and the stone had already been removed and taken away by the hand of the angel. And Jesus is not there. And the moment that He arose from the dead, I believe the Bible teaches us these that the tombs were open, they also rose from the dead. What a great picture that God gives to us. Now, to understand this maybe a little fuller, we need to understand that under the Old Testament economy, when a person died and they were a saint, they went to where? They went to Abraham's bosom. That's why when the rich man died, in hell he lifted up his eyes and Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom. Wasn't carried to heaven like we think of today. It was under the Old Testament. Because you see, they were still anticipating. They were still looking forward to the finished work. The work of Christ had not been completed until He cried finished. Until it was all over there on the day that He died there on Calvary, they were still held in that compartment called paradise. The man that died there, the thief that died alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Today wilt thou remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And what did Jesus tell him? "Today thou shalt be with me in," where? Paradise. He went to that compartment of Hades that's called paradise. And the unbeliever went to that compartment, the world of the unseen, the unknown dead. They went to the torment, for that rich man said, "For I am tormented in this flame." And as Lazarus is there, or as the rich man is in hell, he said, "Go tell my five brethren, have Lazarus to go." And what did Abraham tell him? He said, "Oh, there's a great gulf fixed. And where I am, I can't come to you. And where you go, where you are, you can't come to me. There's a great gulf fixed." Now, when Jesus died, I believe he went to paradise. I believe he went to that compartment that's called paradise. For he told that man there on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man was in hell, tormented in the flames. And Jesus in the paradise side, and the Bible says he went there and he led captivity. He led them out of captivity. Those that were in captivity, those that were there waiting, those that were looking forward to the day when Messiah would fulfill and finish the work of God, they were looking forward to that day.
And the Bible says that Jesus went and He led the captives out. Thank God. You know where He took them? He took them to heaven.
Paradise removed, gone to heaven. Paul says, I went to the third heaven, the paradise of God.
And so we find here that this is all a picture of what, how death is going to be destroyed and how death is going to no longer have a hold upon us. They were waiting for the completion of their redemption, and it was not complete until Jesus died and shed His blood. Thank God He died for us. He died that we might have everlasting life. And Jesus died that they were ushered into the very presence of God the Father. Today the believer is taken into the very presence of the Lord. For Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present. Isn't it a wonderful thing? As sad as death may be, as sad as the funeral might be, but isn't it a great thing that you can go and say, I know where they are. We don't have to wonder when a person's saved, when a person's born again. We don't have to wonder where they are, for the Bible says to be absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. And by the way, this body is not who we really are. It's just the manifestation that God's given us a body we can be recognized. But the real you and I is the spirit that we have. The spirit and soul of man. And when I die, you're not going to bury my spirit. You're not going to bury my soul. You'll bury this old body. And as those folks waited for the completion of the redemption, redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I will be waiting for Him to say, come up hither. You and I will be waiting that one day He'll fulfill the promise that where He is, there we shall be also. And so, when I'm laid in the grave, or when you're laid in the grave, and whoever else is around us, if they're not believers, they're not going to be disturbed by the coming of the Lord. You and I, we're going to go up to be with Him, for this old tabernacle that we have right now does groan for that heavenly place, that heavenly tabernacle. Today, we look forward to the day that we shall one day be once again united with our loved ones. All of us, some of us, even this year, our families have been touched by this thing of death. Something has come into our life that has come in and snatched out loved ones that we loved very dearly. Some was mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Some were those that maybe were a little more distant in relationship, but they're still part of our family. We've been touched by death. Aren't you glad one day Jesus took care of that? We don't have to die. We don't have to die eternally. We can live eternally with the Lord. Just a few weeks ago, I stood at my uncle's graveside, and I didn't have to wonder where he was. I knew his testimony. And one day we shall be together. One of these days, when the trumpet of God shall sound, you know whose bones are going to be disturbed. You know whose body's going to be resurrected. It's those of us that are believers and waiting for the coming of our Lord. These bodies. Today we look forward. We are absent from the body to be present with the Lord. But what about these folks? The graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And the Bible says, and they came out of the grave. After the resurrection. Well, that's some important word. That's some strange words here. When Jesus died, the caves were opened. The tombs were opened. The stones were rolled away. That's when He died. But when He arose, the Bible says they arose. The Scripture says they came out of the graves after His resurrection. Well, thank God one of these days we're going to leave this old world. And it's all because of His resurrection. Because He arose, I shall rise. Thank the Lord. Where are we going? We're going to heaven. Our soul, our spirit is once again going to be reunited with a new body. We're not going to have the same old body we got now. Thank the Lord. Anybody have any pain this morning? Anybody have any problems this morning? Anybody have any difficulties this morning? We're not going to have that kind of body. Thank God He's going to give us a new body. Something we can
rejoice in, something that lasts forever, something we can go all over heaven together and never have a problem. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'm glad when we go to the cemetery, that's not the end of it. Dust we came from, dust we'll go back to, but you know what? If He brought us out of dust, He can give us a new body. Praise the Lord, we are one day going to be with Him because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every spring we go through the holiday called Easter, and we think about the death and the burial, and we think of the resurrection of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just an Easter message, but it's the Christian message. If we have no resurrection, we have nothing. Paul says if we don't have a resurrection, we don't have anything. We of all men most miserable. Because we have a hope, and one day that hope will be supplied. The Bible says here, and this maybe is, again, this is some of the things maybe we're not sure about. But notice here it says they came out of the graves after His resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Oh, I don't understand that verse. Somebody says, will we be known in heaven as we are known now? I believe so. I have no problem thinking about that, and we'll go into that in just a moment. But here are these folks. The Bible says, after His resurrection, these bodies arose and they went to the holy city. Now, somebody says, what's that holy city? Is that Jerusalem? Well, it's called the holy city. But He didn't say Jerusalem here. He says the holy city. And I'm not dogmatic on this. I don't think you can be. But this holy city, if you look in the latter chapters of the book of Revelation, you'll find the holy city there. And it's the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, which is really the abode of the place of the believer. It's heaven. And so when these folks arose from the grave and arose from the dead, and they left their tombs, I personally believe they were ushered very, very quickly into the very presence of God in the holy city. And there they appear. I don't know how they would have gone into the earthly Jerusalem without it causing a real problem and a scare. How would you like to meet one? They've rolled the tomb away, the stone away, and everybody knows it. It's been 3 days now. Don't tell me that didn't get around. They might not have had computers and text messages and all the things we've got, but I'll guarantee you they had the mouth and it got around. The stones have been rolled away from the tombs, fellas. Now, what would you have felt if you, that day when Jesus rose, and here comes a whole army of believers, and they're marching into the city of Jerusalem? I believe we'd have a little more about it in the Scripture if that took place. The holy city, I believe, is heaven. Because when they left their tomb, awaiting and looking for the completion of their redemption, they went to heaven when it was completed, just like we're going one day when He comes to receive us. We're going to be with Him. When Jesus cried, "Finished," the work was done. Salvation was completed. Nothing could be added to it. Nothing could be taken from it. And these Old Testament saints, they're no longer in captivity. They're no longer in paradise awaiting. Now the stones have been rolled away and their bodies have been exposed. And now they have a new body. And now they go to the holy city, free from Hades, paradise. Now, in the very presence of God. Would they be known? Are we going to be known in heaven? Are we going to know each other as we know each other now? I believe we will. I believe I'll know Brother Darrell and Cindy. I believe I'll know George and Tom and everybody in here. I believe we'll know each other. What proved that? Well, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter recognized Moses and Elijah, and he'd never met them. That was a long time before him. And Peter said, "I believe we ought to build 3 tabernacles." I wonder if the Lord laughed when he said that.
tabernacle is a tent. God doesn't have a tent for us. And whoever put in our, I don't think it's in our songbook, but whoever wrote that song, "Just give me a little cabin over in the corner of glory," they had no idea what heaven's all about. We don't have a tent, we don't have a cabin, we've got a mansion. And we're going one day. And we're going to be there, and I believe we're going to be known. On that Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus was transformed in the very presence of these disciples, John and Peter, as Moses was carried there in the presence of God from a grave, literally from heaven, representing death. Moses died, they just didn't know where that he was buried, for God buried him. And Elijah was carried to heaven in a whirlwind. Don't get it wrong now. He wasn't carried to heaven in a chariot. Chariot is for the earth. He was carried to heaven in a whirlwind, partly by chariot. But he's taken to heaven by whirlwind. And he didn't die. So here on the Mount of Transfiguration, you have those that died represented, those that didn't die. Buddy, one day we're going to come, and the Lord's going to come again, and we are alive. We're not going to die that way. There's not going to be a tomb. There's not going to be a grave. There's not going to be a cemetery for us. We're going to be with Him immediately, with Him in the air. Jesus was always dealing with this thing called death. Jairus' daughter, he ended her death when he spoke to her and took her by the hand, and she arose. You have the widow of Nain. Her son had died. The Bible says Jesus spoke and he touched the briar of the casket, and he was alive. You have Lazarus, and Jesus spoke to him and didn't touch anything. All by his power. Had one thing in common. He spoke. One day Jesus cried, "Finished." And one day he's going to come with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound, and we're going to go to be with him, all by his power. The grave's not going to have a hold, death's not going to have a hold upon us. It's all because of the great power of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know him this morning. I'm glad I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd hate to base my eternity on some people's testimony. Buddy, I tell you what, some folks don't have much of a testimony. Oh, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? And they can't tell you. If I know I'm going somewhere, I know how to get there. And Jesus has took care of it long, long time ago. May God help us to tell the world, Jesus saves. One day, we shall rise. One day, He's going to speak again. It's not going to be finished. It's going to be come up hither. Praise the Lord for the day that we anticipate, that we look for. And those saints of old that have gone to be with the Lord already, those Old Testament saints, that great cloud of witnesses, there's a group of people now waiting the resurrection of this body. And we're going to go be with Him. One day the graves are going to be opened and we shall rise. Let's stand together this morning.